All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos of St. Louis Chargers podcast, along with Will, Brandon, and Shane on this wonderful Saturday afternoon. How are you all doing today?
I'm feeling great.
I don't know what that was, but we're chilling.
Yeah, good time had by all.
Yeah, definitely. I'm also have the Final Four going on in the background because we're recording during the first half. Checking that out as we go through. Today, you know, we will talk about the rule changes probably in the next couple of weeks. We kind of talked about it over the course of the season anyway. So if you want to go back and check that out, you can. We'll do a full episode on that and some other stuff as we go along. But Will came up with this idea for us to do Mount Rushmore players for every NFL team. This week we're going to do NFC only. Next week we'll do AFC only. Will, what kind of inspired you to do this idea for the show?
Yeah, so it's I think it was something good, you know, the off season, and there's a lot of history with the NFL, and I saw a bunch of like creators, content creators, create this idea, and I think it's something that, you know, to celebrate, it was something that would be great if we could have done on the 100-year anniversary of the NFL. But I think this is a good time than any to do it. And plus, it could be something that we can do in the future because as time changes and as players start getting better, they can be possibly added to the Mount Rushmore. So I think it's something that, you know, it's something fun and, you know, very controversial, especially if some people get in, some people get out. And also, it's something that obviously I think to celebrate all 32 teams, first the NFC today and the next week the AFC, is to celebrate those teams and recognize the players that really help to create what their respective teams is today. So I think it's something that really inspired me to do it, and it's something that could be a revolving thing we could do in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We decided to kind of split them up into conferences, make it easier, make the shows, you know, not 3 hours long, and just have some fun. We are going to start with the NFC East, and Brandon, we're going to start with the world champion Philadelphia Eagles, so get us off going.
So, you know, just to preface it, you know, and we were talking about this before the show started, that, you know, there's a lot of history when it comes to certain teams, and it's, you know, certain teams are way harder than others to find, you know, four of the best players really in their history. But I think when it comes to the Eagles, I think I found a good four. And surprisingly, I don't have any, like, you know, I don't have any wide receivers. I don't have a quarterback. I don't have any running backs. You know, I wanted to put a couple on here. I pretty much have three defensive guys, actually, and I have one offensive player. So my Mount Rushmore for Philly, I mean, this is in no order, but...
order, by the way. No order. We're doing four guys.
Yeah. Yep. So, because you can put them in any four order. Yeah, you know.
You think the presidents were put up in some specific order?
Nope.
Nah. So we ain't doing
that. They were put in the order which they served.
Okay, there
we go. Yeah.
So,
that's true.
That was the approach I took. I put them in order of, like, basically when they were on the team.
Yeah. I just did whatever. Yeah. All right. No particular order. Eagles. Brandon.
Yeah. So for my boys, I have Reggie White, Brian Dawkins, Jason Kelce, and Chuck Bednarik.
I have everything the same, but I put Randall Cunningham at the end instead of Bednarik.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I also have everything the same, except instead of Randall Cunningham or anybody else, I put Fletcher Cox.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
I don't mind. Honestly, for some of these teams, there's like no wrong answer for the last guy. I think this is one of those teams.
What I noticed when putting this together is it feels like it's really easy to get the first three, but then it's the fourth guy where you're like,
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think across the board.
That was what I noticed, at least.
Will, what's your four for Philadelphia?
So mine's just a little bit different, but, you know, obviously I have Reggie White and Brian Dawkins, but I had Donovan McNabb and Jason Peters.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about the bodyguard. I was thinking about JP.
Yeah. Yeah, JP.
I don't mind that.
McNabb.
Yeah,
I think
probably McNabb is kind of controversial because I don't think he had a great like impact for Philadelphia history, but he's been a steady quarterback for them after the Randall Cunningham era.
Mm-hmm.
He was our longest
tenure too, I think.
Right. When you think of the Eagles and you have this experience, Brandon, I mean, you grew up watching McNabb, so you would be the best authority for this. I mean, I think when we do this long term, you're going to probably put Hurts in there over a lot of these quarterbacks. But, I mean, it is definitely an interesting thought.
It's hard when you're looking at, you know, because, you know, Philly's never, I mean, Philly historically has never had great, like great, great quarterback play. It's always been, you know, especially in the early years, especially really through the 2000s, like, you know, so at least the mid 2000s, it was predicated on defense. I mean, McNabb was a good player, but I kind of stick when I'm thinking of Mount Rushmore, I'm thinking of Hall of Fame guys. So like McNabb to me kind of is like the Hall of very good. I know a lot of Eagles fans want to put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He's definitely an Eagles Hall of Famer, but I just don't think that, I mean, because the health in the second half of his career was questionable. He couldn't really stay on the field. He also kind of had a lot of off the field things, but he couldn't get along with T.O. He had some off the field issues. So it's a shame that because honestly, if he was healthier and he kind of stayed away from that, he would be a Hall of Famer. But he's the longest tenured. I'm pretty sure the longest tenured quarterback in Eagles history. I caught the tail end. Like, I didn't start watching the Eagles until 06, 07. He was an Eagle until, I think, 09. So, I still did get to see him play. But there were so many guys I could have put here. Like, I think if we go, like, 5-10 years from now, I'll put Jalen Hurts on here. And I was thinking about it, but I was like, I can't put him over Chuck Bednarik because Bednarik's one of the greatest defensive players, especially in the early NFL. He's one of the greatest players of all time, defensively. But it's just that, and also he played two positions. He played center and linebacker. So, because back then a lot of guys played two or three positions. So I couldn't leave him out. Obviously, I couldn't leave Kelce out. He's one of the greatest centers to ever play the game. And without him, you know, I was thinking about Jason Peters because without him and Peters, there'd be no Eagles offensive line, like as a unit. And then, you know, and Doc and Reggie are straightforward. Those are two of the greatest players to ever play the game, period. Yeah. Not just for the period. So, you know, I think when it comes to that team, you know, when it comes to Philly, there's so many guys and we'll see as we go on here, there's plenty of teams here where you could put so many different guys and we'll talk about them as we go on. But I think that's good. I think that we're starting off on a good foot, that we're all pretty similar.
Yeah, we are going to go in a specific order that I kind of have lined up here for everybody. So, Will, you get us started with the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, for Washington Commanders, when doing this list, or efforts for our Morshmore list, I think with the Commanders, I was thinking of those early Super Bowl days, those three Super Bowls that they had. So, mine is Darrell Green, Joe Theismann, Art Monk, and John Reagan. Honestly, if he had played longer and if he was still alive, I actually put Sean Taylor in here just because of how great he was. He was basically like a Brian Dawkins clone, though. You know, no one's like Brian Dawkins, but Sean Taylor was close. And if he lived longer, he would be in there. And I feel like some of the, like, you know, modern Commander players, I think there's been some good ones. You know, Ryan Kerrigan was pretty good. Terry McLaurin right now, he's good. He's not there yet. Like Daniels was, he's still a get there. He's still a rookie, but we'll see where he gets in a couple of years from now. So he might be on the list and see what he's at. RG3, he had a good like first year, but then fell off. Like, there's been like pretty good players over the years. I just feel like they didn't really hold a candle to those early like Super Bowl commander days. So that's my list.
My biggest thing with the Commanders is I love the approach you took, Will, because for me, this was one of my struggle teams. because they, I mean, minus those Super Bowl days that you're talking about, recent history has not been kind to them. And so for me, it sounds so weird putting him on here as a commander, but this just tells me how rough it is. I have Champ Bailey, Sean Taylor, Joe Theismann, London Fletcher.
I forgot about London Fletcher.
Champ Bailey probably should be in for the Broncos, which he will be in for the Broncos.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about him, more of a Bronco.
He will be in for the Broncos, but to me, this is just so the depth of Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor talent for the Commanders hurts so much that I'm just going to give it's not there that I'll give Champ the double nod here. Shane, what do you have for the Commanders?
Yeah, I had Daryl Green, Joe Theismann. I think those are two that pretty much anybody would have.
Yeah.
I forgot about Daryl Green, I'll be honest. I probably...
Yeah, that's okay, you silly guy. Daryl Green, Joe Theismann, Art Monk, and also London Fletcher.
Okay.
And we were close. I was close with Shane, except that one last one.
Yeah.
Brandon, what did you have for Washington?
Yeah, I was thinking Theismann. I didn't put Theismann. I'm kind of similar to Will. I have Riggins. I have Daryl Green, Art Monk, and I did put Sean Taylor, because Sean Taylor, if he would have lived, would be one of the greatest DBs to ever play the game.
Yeah,
so I almost put Sean Taylor in there.
Yeah.
I put him just because he only played 3 years.
And well, you know who I actually considered too before I put Art Monk, like, because I had Art Monk fourth. I know I listed him third, but I had him fourth on this. Who I actually considered before Art Monk, and then I remembered Art Monk. I actually considered Clinton Portis.
He was nice. I definitely feel like with my list I made a mistake, and I knew that was probably going to be the case with the Commanders, just because the recent depth at least just isn't really there, and I knew that was going to kill me with this one.
What's your
one
mistake?
Guy that we forgot to put considered.
I think Art Monk. I think Portis. This
and Trent Williams is another guy I could have put in there.
I think of him more as a 49er, though, as far as his impact.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
Or where he had the most impact, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna be in both teams' Hall of Fames.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys, Shane. Have fun with this one.
I sense a Madden theme here with these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you don't know that this was not intentional. I did this primarily to give Will the Seahawks. That was why I did it in this order. But no, this is our Madden league teams as well. But yeah.
It's just a happy accident. So, yeah. I think the one that pretty much everybody is going to have, Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
Or at least you should. Emmitt Smith, Randy White, Roger Staubach, and Bob Lilly.
Oh, nice. I love the history here. I love it. This is good.
Yeah, I mean, because the Cowboys are, you know, they're a team where, you know, when it comes to their legendary players, most of them are from, like, you know, 1990 and earlier. They've had some guys, you know, recently, like, you know, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, who I was considering, Zach Martin, you know.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, they're, you know, when you think of the best Cowboys of all time, it's these guys from a while back. The one guy that I think a lot of people would maybe put in is Troy Aikman. But I think he's pretty overrated.
Yeah.
As both the player and commentator. But anyways, That's not. this isn't about that. But yeah, Staubach for sure, I think, deserves a mention. Yeah, yeah, those are my four.
Brandon, what are your four here?
Yeah, I'm similar to Shane in terms of Emmett and Staubach, but the other two I have is Michael Irvin, because without him, the Cowboys don't win those three those titles. And then I actually have DeMarcus Ware. The guy is the all-time sack leader, I think forced fumbles leader.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, his, you know, his and his impact on the team. The guy's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's obviously a Cowboy Hall of Famer. And I remember growing up, that man terrorizing my offense for years. So I couldn't leave DeMarcus Ware out. He was one of the, like, especially at his time in the game, in his era, he was one of the scariest defensive linemen ever. So
yeah, he just missed the cut for me. I have Irvin, Emmett Smith, Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach. Will?
I don't know. I was thinking about DeMarcus Ware, but I think mine is Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Larry Allen. I put Larry Allen in there just because his longevity, though he didn't play for Cowboys, longevity, and also he was dominant at his position, probably one of the greatest guards and offensive linemen of all time. So I had to put him in there.
Yeah. Okay. New York Giants, I have Eli Manning, Lawrence Taylor, Michael Strahan, Y.A. Tittle as my four.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Way back with Y.A. Tittle.
Yeah, I also have Y.A. Tittle. I also have Lawrence Taylor, Michael Strahan. I mean, I think if you don't put Lawrence Taylor, you're kind of an idiot.
More
than an idiot. My fourth, I actually have Phil Simms as opposed to Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning sucked. I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, honestly, you go back and watch Eli Manning, that guy was an idiot.
Eli's overrated. He's very overrated.
He was carried by his defense.
I have a quarterback that I have that take on that didn't make my list based on some of our previous conversations that we had coming up later, but
anyways, yeah.
Okay. Will, what do you have for the New York Football Giants?
Dang. Honestly, if I should have, man, to me, I could put Armani Toomer in there. Yeah, it would have been pretty good. But man, mine is a little bit controversial, so obviously I got Lawrence Taylor and Michael Strahan, but I got Eli Manning and Phil Simms.
Okay, put both in there. You could totally do that.
And then guess what, Will? That's the first time we have two identical lists, because I have Strahan, Manning, LT, and Simms, too.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
That's crazy.
All right, start us off with the NFC North. Brandon, the Detroit Lions.
That one... and this is going to be kind of interesting, because I feel like the first two to me are pretty easy, and that's Megatron and Barry Sanders.
Yeah,
and then the other two I have are, one of them is brand new, but I think he's already deserving to be on there. And another one is probably the toughest, one of the toughest at his position to ever play the game. And that's Matt Stafford.
Yep.
And then Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh.
I am very surprised you don't have one guy on your list.
Dick LeBeau. Oh.
The Dick. Night Train Lane.
Yeah.
No, because I saved him for the other team he was on. Better.
You saved him for the other team. Okay, that's fair. So I have everything the same, but I have Night Train Lane. If Spotify deletes this because I said the Dick in relation to Night Train Lane, yeah, you're stupid. That's something to call. All right, Shane, what did you have for the Lions?
I had the same Barry, Calvin, Stafford, And instead of Dick Lane, I had Dick LeBeau. So
okay, that's interesting. I don't mind that at all.
But I was considering Dick Lane. So
okay. Well, there's gonna be a lot of Dick mentions in these next two episodes that have nothing to do with the alternate meaning. Just saying that off the top. All right.
Nobody was thinking it except you, Robert.
God damn it. We'll go ahead.
All right. Mine's is obviously Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders. I have Night Train Lane and Lynn Barney.
Oh, Lynn Barney. What a choice. I like it. Cool. Big
play. Yeah, I definitely knew that Amon-Ra would be questionable, but when you think about what he's done in his first 4 years in the league, he's the second best, like, basically receiver in Detroit Lions history already.
If we do this 5 years from now, he'll be on the list. Amon-Ra will be on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Will, Vikings.
All right. So for the Minnesota Vikings, man, I think this one's obviously, I didn't talk about this. This was actually tough. Because I should have put Jared Allen in there, possibly. He had an impact, and John Randall had an impact, too. Harrison Smith could have got in there, but he didn't make my cut. I just feel like his impact wasn't, like, that much. That should be on Mount Rushmore. But for my Minnesota Viking one, I have Randy Moss, Frank Tarkenton, because of, you know, those appearances in the early Super Bowl. Okay. Alan Page. And Adrian Peterson.
Okay, I like the list a lot. I like it a lot. Shane, what did you have for the Vikings?
So I had, let's see, the two that we had in common. I had Alan Page and Fran Tarkenton. And then for the others, I had Carl Eller.
Wow, and, that's a pull.
And Chris Carter.
Wow, I like that.
Oh,
dang.
Yeah, okay. I did not have Adrian Peterson because I feel like he really only had, I mean, when you look at his career and specifically his time with the Vikings, I feel like he really only had a couple seasons where he was like, you know, the top dog or whatever. And then he just kind of like fell off very quick and just didn't do much.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. I have AP, Chris Carter, Randy Moss, and John Randall. I think the reason I have AP, though, is I loved watching him as a Viking. You know, those
years.
You guys have an MVP on that organization.
Yeah, so that's why I have AP. But I do understand your sentiment of why he doesn't deserve to be on the list, considering the rich history that Minnesota does have, including the Purple People Eaters. Go ahead, Brandon, to finish this off with Minnesota.
Yeah, so I did include AP just because, I mean, even he, like, there were some years where he didn't even get 300 carries and he still was at, like, at that time, because now running backs are average, great running backs are averaging over 5 a carry, but he was like, he's also one of the 9 running backs in NFL history to have 2,000 yards in a season. And he also holds, like, you know, like what? I think it's like second place all time in terms of that list. So, because I think Dickerson has the record still. I think then it's AP or whatever it is. So something like that. It's something, I forget what the list is exactly, but basically Adrian Peterson to me, I can't leave a 2,000 yard rusher off the list. I will next week, probably for another team. Maybe I gotta look closely, but
we're not there yet. We're gonna get there.
But AP, I couldn't leave off. The guy, I think, had 7,000 plus yard seasons for the Vikings. And just on top of that, it was one of the fiercest rushers of the last 25 years. Guy was scary. So I have him, obviously, I have Moss, even though I like Chris Carter, because without Chris Carter, I don't think there is Randy Moss. And then Tarkenton, obviously. And then I have a more recent one. I didn't go back in time for this. I didn't go to John Randall. My thought in my head went to, and I think you guys will be happy this one. I don't think you could hate this one. I went to Jared Allen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. That's what I was thinking. I should have put him.
But, I was. Yeah. I was really. We were all heavily debating Allen. I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Just show how stacked the Vikings were, based with talent.
Yeah.
But, yet they have no rings to show for it, isn't that lucky?
Yeah,
that amazing. Well, let's go to a team. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, Vikings fans, for making this poor transition for you, but let's go to a team that has their head coach as the namesake of the trophy, the Green Bay Packers. Shane, go ahead with the Packers.
Yeah, this is a tough one because this is a team that has a lot of history, and they've had a lot of really good players throughout their time. But I think when I look at it all, for me, it's Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Charles Woodson, and Willie Davis.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, there were some other guys that I was really considering. For instance, Donald Driver.
Yeah. Oh, that's a pull too. I love him as a player.
Was definitely somebody I was thinking heavy about. Who else? Willie Wood.
You know who I was thinking? I was thinking Don Hutson.
Don Hutson.
Like Ryan.
Reggie White could have double dipped here.
Yeah. Reggie.
Clay Matthews. I mean, there's
it's
a lot
so
of.
Rich. It's yeah. Probably the most rich team we'll get to other than another
Amon Green.
Rich team here.
Yeah, Amon Green.
There's a ton, but ultimately I decided on those four.
All right. Brandon, go ahead with the Packers.
Yeah, I don't think any Packers list is complete unless you have those two, Favre and Rodgers, on there. And then Shane and I were going back and forth, and I said I had to put Charles Woodson on there because actually it's funny, in his Packers career, he did just as much as he did in his two stints as a Raider. Not stints, but his two separate eras as a Raider. Even though he's a better Raider overall, I think. Favre, Rodgers, Woodson, and actually, I could have went Bard Starr. I didn't want to go three quarterbacks on here, even though I very well could have. But this guy retired early, and if he didn't, he'd be one of the best receivers of the last 40 years, Sterling Sharp.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, we'll go ahead.
All right, mine's... Reggie White, Nischik.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Reggie White.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm good with that. Say it again really quick. So Ryan Nischke.
Ryan Nischke, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. And Reggie White.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Ray Nischke.
Ray Nischke. Great. That's a great pick. That's an excellent pick. I'm a quarterback guy. Okay. And if you're talking quarterbacks, you're going Packers. So Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Reggie White. I'm just taking the quarterbacks. Bears. Dick Butkus. Mike Ditka. Walter Payton, Brian Urlacher.
Good one.
I have the exact same list.
Okay, we got another double dip.
Oh my god.
That's not a double dip, but yeah.
Yeah. Well,
two of the same. Two of a pair.
Two of a pair. We'll go ahead on the Bears. What do you have?
Yeah, mine's basically the same thing. Walter Payton, Brian Urlacher, Dick Butkus, Mike Ditka. Honestly,
oh my god.
The exact same.
I could have put Mike Singletary on there, but man, that's what I was thinking. That one, I think Devin Hester had a chance to get on there. Like, Gale Sayers. Like,
Sayers, man. Yeah.
Even McMichael. Like, I'm not putting Jay Cutler on there now. No way. No quarterback on there, man. Because Chicago Bears, another place that's like a graveyard for quarterbacks. So
yeah. You'll be sad that I ruined it. It's not all four. I didn't put Ditka. I put Devin Hester instead.
Well, that's
totally fine. Yeah. Totally fine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna switch up.
Other than that, it's the same. It's still Butkus, Payton, and Urlacher.
Yeah. So I'm gonna switch up the back end of the South because I know Shane's bracing to talk about his favorite player of all time here. But we will get to him. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brandon, get us started.
Yeah, that one I think was pretty straightforward. I don't think with the Bears one, I think we'll be almost unanimous on this one. But I have, and obviously in no order because there's a few guys on here that would be going over this first one. But Rondé Barber, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, Mike Evans.
Yep.
That's what you had, Shane?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I gotta give love to my favorite fullback ever. I'm going Mike Allstar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about it.
Mike,
I had him. Yeah.
I'm gonna give him the nod here. Derek Brooks, Mike Evans, Warren Sapp. Will, what do you have for the Bucks?
Yeah, I think I should have put what was that fullback name? Mike Altout?
Mike Allstar.
Mike Altout. Okay, Allstar. Yeah, he was out on my list. I should have put him in there. That was something I was thinking about.
It's hard to put a fullback in there, but to me, he's the guy that revolutionized the position. Yeah. When you think fullback, you think him, and that's about it.
Yeah, same thing with Tom Brady, but I feel like Tom Brady is more so for New England.
Yeah.
You know who else I was thinking before you go, Will? You know who else I was thinking? And he might be on your list. I don't know if he is. Give me your list, and then if he's on there, I'll say it.
Oh yeah, there's also I was thinking about Rondé Barber, but I don't know. It's something I should have put. But this is my list: Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, Mike Evans, and John Lynch.
John Lynch gets on the cut. Yeah,
I was thinking John Lynch.
Recent that's Hall what of I was Famer, thinking. Or fairly recent Hall of Famer.
Niners GM.
John Lynch. All right.
Yeah, you got me. You got me on that one. You got me on that one. I was gonna say it if you didn't say it. Yeah, John Lynch deserves a mention.
Did we ever say Rondé Barber? Did anyone put in there?
Shane nailed it.
Shane deserves to be put in.
Brandon, what did you have for the Bucks again? Sorry, I want to just double check your list.
Yeah, Barber, Brooks, Sapp, and Evans.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of fun players for the Buccaneers. Okay, Falcons. Does our recent retiree get a mention on the list, Will?
Yeah. Oh, with me?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, definitely. I put Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Michael Vick, and Deion Sanders.
Nice.
Yeah. Honestly, there were some guys I could have put in there. Like, I think Roddy White, I remember he was in some people's earlier lists, but I just feel like Julio Jones kind of eclipsed him of wide receiver spot. Tony Gonzalez didn't have his best year. I think he had his best years with the Chiefs. Like, I don't know, because, like Jamal Anderson, like, he was pretty decent, underrated. Like, and Andre Rison was decent as well. Like, Chris Chandler was okay as a quarterback. It's like I just feel like Falcons, like more recent history, they have much better players than the past, except like at Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I also have Julio, Matt Ryan, and Deion. But for my fourth, instead of Vic, I have Jesse Tuggle.
Ooh, that's a
okay.
I'm changing my list on the fly. I'm removing a guy and putting Deion in here. I think Deion deserves to be on this list for me.
You didn't put Deion in there to start?
I was thinking about him for the Cowboys, and then I realized that I didn't take him.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, man. Cowboys? Man.
Oh, my goodness.
His best years were in Atlanta, for sure.
Yeah, they were. I'm taking out Matt Ryan and putting in Deion.
Yeah, he came the concept of the Dirty Birds, man.
Yeah. For me, it's going to be Julio, Dion, Gonzalez, and Roddy White.
Wait, what? Gonzalez? Like, I don't know. Why would you put him in there? He like
what? Tony Gonzalez?
I wouldn't put him as a Falcon.
I might put him in both. That's how good I think Tony was.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I think the Chiefs are the only team where I'll have two tight ends. I mean,
that's for sure.
Oh, the Chiefs one's easy for me, but we'll get to that next week.
Yeah, I was going to say we won't get ahead of ourselves.
Brandon, what do you have?
Yeah, I think I had pretty much the same first two as everybody, Dion and Julio. I did keep Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan owns so many Falcons records. And I mean, to me, Matt Ryan, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback to me. And then I did put Andre Rison. Because, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't think you can have Dion without Andre Rison. Because, hey, I mean, they went against each other in practice. And you know what they say, right? You know, iron sharpens iron. And Andre Rison helped make Dion better, too. So both of them deserve to be there to me.
That's the biggest mistake I made. Dion 100% needs to be on the Falcons list. There's not even a question. I'll do the Panthers. I hated doing the Panthers. That was my least favorite team to do.
Yeah, Shane helped me finish it because I had a brain fart doing it.
Oh yeah. So Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, Smith Sr. And you know what, Shane, you helped three of us make this change. I originally had Cam Newton. This was going to piss off Panthers fans, because if you're doing a Mount Rushmore, you should have Newton. But I don't think Newton's as important as Thomas Davis. I really don't. And I think that's a hot take, and I respect it being a hot take.
Newton's a glorified Colin Kaepernick, all right?
Will, you had Cam. Who else do you have?
I have Cam Newton, I have Luke Kuechly, Julius Peppers, and Steve Smith Sr.
Okay, yeah. That was my original list before I put Thomas in there. Shane, you helped us put Thomas Davis. Who else do you have?
Yeah, Davis, Peppers, Kuechly, Steve Smith.
Okay.
Yep, same as mine.
Okay, so three of us got that. All right, Shane. New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, obviously. You can have fun with your man here.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds a little weird, but yeah,
you know, you know what, your favorite quarterback, you know what I mean.
No, so this, you know, this is another one where it's like, I think every team has one guy where it's like, if you don't have him on there, there's something wrong with you. And, you know, for the Saints, it's Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have Cam Jordan, Ricky Jackson.
Fuck, I forgot about Ricky.
And the big nasty Willie Rofe.
Rofe!
Dude, one of the best tackles ever. So that's my list.
This is something. So with Drew, really quick, because I'm gonna pause because I've been giving you enough chance to talk about Drew Brees. That man's accuracy is something special. I mean, watching that for as many years as we got a chance to watch it, Shane, and you being a quarterback coach, I mean, you absolutely love that man's game for years and years.
I mean, yeah, he's just he's the most mechanically sound and perfect thrower of the football I've ever seen. I mean, it's between him and Brady, pretty much.
They're both guys that didn't have the greatest arm strength in the world, but the mechanics and everything were beautiful.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, they've proven that when it comes to a quarterback's talent, arm strength is not the most important thing. It is important, but it's not like, you know, you can overcome having a, you know, slightly weaker arm. It's not easy, but you can do it. Mm-hmm. But if you have bad accuracy, you're out of the league, pretty much. So, yeah, that was, you know, and that's definitely with Breeze, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's statistically basically the most accurate quarterback ever. But
yeah.
But he was also just so great with X's and O's. And, you know, everybody's always like, well, he threw so many picks. And I'm like, well, yeah, because he threw like 750 attempts a year. I mean, anybody would throw as many picks as he did if he threw that much.
It wasn't like he was Eli. Like, Eli would throw, you know, 30 touchdowns but 20 picks in a season. Breeze would throw 45 and 20. There's a big difference there.
Right, and Eli would throw 400 times. Breeze would throw 700, or, you know.
Yeah.
Not 400, but maybe like 550. So anyways, yeah. I think Breeze, I mean, they definitely took a chance on him just after his, you know, because he was going out of San Diego with that shoulder injury, and it was like, are we sure we're gonna roll with this guy? And obviously it worked out for them. So yeah
worked out more than you could ever imagine. All right, Brandon, go ahead with the Saints.
Breeze and Cam Jordan are the same for me. I you know, both of those guys are probably in top three ever in terms of the Saints.
I forgot about Cam. I don't know why it left my mind. I'm putting him in here.
And then I didn't put him for the Panthers, but you got to put him for the Saints because and the thing is, he should have his number retired for them, Sam Mills. And then last but not least, I have probably, I think about this guy often, never made a Pro Bowl somehow. I don't think ever made an All Pro either. One of the most underrated receivers in football history, Marcus Colston.
I put Morton Anderson was a guy I thought of here, but I took him out just now. But Drew Brees, Cam Jordan, Colston, and Jimmy Graham I put on my list here.
I was thinking about Jimmy.
Yeah,
I was thinking about
him. Yeah.
All right, we'll finish this off with the South.
Mine's just basically almost the same. It's like I got Drew Brees, two guys from the Doom Patrol, Ricky Jackson and Sam Mills. That's my mix.
Wait, can you say it again, Will? You bugged out a little bit.
It's a Doom Patrol, Ricky Jackson and Sam Mills, and one of the best tackles, Willie Rowe.
All right. NFC West, Los Angeles Rams, Brandon.
Yeah, now they're another team that, you know, there's so many guys. For the first one, I picked the better of the two show on turf receivers. So Isaac Bruce. Then I went Eric Dickerson, Marshall Faulk, and Aaron Donald.
Same. Shane, what did you have?
I have three of the same. Eric Dickerson, Marshall Faulk, Aaron Donald. And for the fourth, I had Kurt Warner.
I love Kurt. I'm so sad he didn't get put on my list. I love Kurt so much.
He's great. I just think that the years in total weren't enough. Like, he was only there for a short period of time, even though he was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. All right, Will, finish this off with the Rams.
Okay, so for me, for Los Angeles Rams, I got Aaron Donald, Deacon Jones, Kurt Warner, and Eric Dickerson.
Okay.
Good pick.
All right.
Good choice. All right. We'll go ahead with the Seahawks.
All right. This one, I think it was hard for me a little bit because there was like so many great players, especially in the modern era. But I picked Walter Jones because arguably he's one of the best tackles of all time and he has a bust in the Hall of Fame. Alexander, because he has the only MVP in Seahawks history, so you got to put him in there. Russell Wilson, because in my opinion, he's the best quarterback in that history. And I was thinking about it. I think I should have and would have because I was thinking about Kenny Easley and I was thinking about Curtis Kennedy. I was thinking about like Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. I was thinking all the defensive players, but I think I picked for my last was Richard Sherman.
Okay, Shane, go ahead with the Seahawks.
I have the same first three, Walter Jones. There's a statue of him in the Seattle airport.
Well-deserved one, by the way.
Yep. Sean Alexander, Russell Wilson. And for the fourth, I mean, the guy that's widely considered to be the best Seahawk ever, Steve Largent.
Yes.
I mean, people around here still talk about that guy as though he's Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, 100%. You know, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
For me, Largent, Jones, Alexander, and the one guy that sticks out to me, you know, you got your Shermans, you got your Wilsons, but I think if we're talking about the true Seahawk of this era, or of the era, this era that we live in with the Seahawks, to me, I'm putting Bobby Wagner. I'm putting Bobby in over Sherm, over Wilson, just because of the staying power. Linebacker, the guy who ran the defense all those years was Bobby, so I'm giving him the nod there. Brandon, what do you have for the Seahawks?
Yeah, the Seahawks took a while because I consider pretty much everybody we've talked about, I've considered them, but I kind of have a mix between some of those honorable mentions and then obviously the two ones that we've said before. So mine are Steve Largent, Sean Alexander, Kenny Easley, and Cortez Kennedy.
Ooh, Walter Kenny Jones. Easley and Cortez. No Walter. That's interesting.
Nope.
But I like the other two choices. I like a little bit of
what the statue. No, I'm kidding.
In a rugged out airport.
In the international terminal, no less. So you know you fly in from Japan or something, and you're like, who's this guy?
At least you learn about him.
Who's this large man staring at me?
Shane, I'm gonna give you the 49ers.
Oh, thanks. I'm kidding. This is another one, kind of like the Cowboys, where you have to go back a ways. Not that they haven't had good players since then, but those are like
there's two that should be on here automatically.
Right, Montana and Rice. Yeah. Rice, I mean, in my opinion, is possibly the greatest player of all time of any position.
Wait, Jerry Rice, what are you eating? Rice. Yeah.
Rice.
Jerry's eating rice. Montana, Rice. That commercial's so stupid. And then other two, I have Ronnie Lott and Steve Young.
Yes.
Ronnie. Yeah.
What the heck?
All right, Will, go ahead.
Oh, man. Honestly, I have mostly the same thing. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Steve Young. But, man, I could have put Patrick Willis in there. Man, I could have.
Thought about him.
I could have put Hayes in there. I could have put in a lot of good players. T.O. possibly.
Frank Gore, maybe.
Frank Gore.
I think you make an argument for Trent Williams.
Yeah.
Yep.
Williams, Nick Bosa. Like, I could have put on all some guys, but I think
you guys are missing. I had an honorable mention of Charles Haley on my list.
Yeah.
I mean, not Hayes, Haley. Jeez.
Yeah. All right. Well, give us your list for the Niners. What do you have?
Basically, same thing. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, and Steve Young.
Yep, same here.
The exact same.
Wow, same here, you three are insane. I so close, damn it. I went Rice, Montana, Ronnie Lott, and I did put Patrick Willis. Because if Patrick Willis never retired, he'd be one of the greatest linebackers ever play of the game.
Okay, Cardinals were kind of fun. There's a lot of they're tough, but they're fun.
This is the hardest one for me.
Yeah, they were the hardest.
Because there's nobody.
There really is nobody.
This one kind of sat with me, and I have some some understanding of the history a little bit, but it came to me kind of quick. Larry Fitz, obviously, he's going to be on all of our lists.
Yeah.
Dan Dierdorf.
Oh Jesus, that's how you know that who? that's how you know. That's how you know that it's bad.
Dan Dierdorf, Pat Tillman, and Arenas Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we're almost the same.
Yeah.
What do you have, Brandon?
I have Fitz. Well, remember, I said I would mention Night Train Lane again. He was a better Cardinal than he was a Lion, so I'd put Night Train Lane.
All right.
Fitz, Aeneas Williams, and then my last one, I had to think about it, but I mean, he's not retired yet, but he might as well be on there now, Buda Baker.
Okay. Wait, what? Yeah, Buda will be on the, Buda will be on this list in 5 years, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Will, what do you have for the Cards?
Man, honestly, I was thinking about it. I could have put Kurt Warner in there, because of how impact he had. Because honestly, you look at the Cardinals QB history. Like, I'll say that like one guy that they have that would like lead the league in passing yards. You can't really like think of quarterbacks in there, but Kurt Warner could have been in there, but I didn't put him in there. But this is my list. I have Larry Fitzgerald because obviously he's the best. He's the top five wide receiver of all time. Or maybe top 10. Pat Tillman.
Yep.
Larry Wilson. And Aeneas Williams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Shane, finish us off.
Yeah, Fitz, obviously. I mean, that's, you know. I don't think I need to say anything about that. Tillman. Buda Baker as well. And Patrick Peterson. Why does nobody have him?
Oh, yeah.
PEDs, I guess? For me, I think.
Know. I don't know why I don't put him. I don't know.
Yeah, he was. I was considering Pat Pete, but I was like, damn. I don't know.
That being said, please someone double check if I have anybody with PEDs on the rest of my list, because I might have one and not thought and didn't think about it. But still, I think that's part of why I didn't have them.
But yeah, I think for me, I think it's just because he kind of fell off pretty hard after his first like 3-4 years in the league. Like, he was still good, but like he fell off kind of quick.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting one though. I think why do you have him on the list, Shane? I don't think it's a bad pick at all. It just didn't really come to mind.
I mean, for me, it's mostly just because like it's the Cardinals and there was nobody else. So
that's the best.
I was like, I guess I'll put him on here.
That's the best explanation of one of my questions ever. It's like, hey, why did you have him on there? There was nobody else.
Oh yeah, there's someone else we forgot to put on there, Calais Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, he jumped around a ton, though. That's the thing. I mean,
one of his best years were in Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. If we're gonna say Calais Campbell, then my God, we can't forget about Chandler Jones either.
That's fair.
But again,
now that we're thinking about it, now it's like, oh my God.
I mean, maybe. Again, I think you can go with any of these guys on the list because the Cardinals, again, the depth is terrible. Just being honest.
Yeah, was nice too.
Well, give me Josh Rosen.
Oh, no. Josh Rosen. Oh, my God.
Kenyon Drake.
Bro, are we going to do, no, are we going to do, next week we're going to do the worst list.
Oh my God! Number one Philadelphia, Jalen Reagor, baby, Jalen Reagor.
Jesus.
Each team's Mount Rushmore of biggest draft busts.
Hey! I caught that baby better than I caught than Aguilar can catch a football.
Listen, I can't shade Aguilar too much. Not gonna lie, because he did play a big part in the Super Bowl season. He was actually pretty good that year.
Yeah.
So I can't shade him too much. He was pretty good in the Super Bowl too, so I don't hate him that bad.
Our movie this week before we get onto Batman next week is we're finishing up Spider-Man with Spider-Man No Way Home. Brandon and I watched this on a watch along on Friday. Brandon, what was your thought on watching it again? For what? How many times have you watched it now in total?
This is number three. So
this is 4 for me. But go ahead. What was your experience for us watching it? I know we got a few laughs in some of the jokes, some of the references. But what's your experience? Yeah. And also, what was your theater's reaction to some of the most amazing moments of this film?
I mean, it's just like anybody else is just completely freaking out. I mean, obviously, you know, you freak out over Andrew and Toby appearing in it, even though we kind of knew leading up to it that they would be there. You know, but still, just when you see, you know, you have to see it to believe it. So when they're there, it's, you know, you go nuts. Our theater didn't go absolutely apeshit like other theaters did across the world. Like everybody standing up, clapping, cheering. You can't even hear the movie, but we all were like, yeah, like we're like, nice. So, you know, obviously that moment is huge. I mean, they still make memes out of it, for God's sake. You know, the first appearance of on the bridge of Doc Ock and the Green Goblin, because that's obviously iconic. You know, really all the villains. So Sandman, obviously, you know, I'd be remiss without saying this, but they did Jamie Foxx's, you know, they made him better in this movie, thank God, when they did in Tazzy 2. So, you know, everybody, you know, plays a great part. All the villains are great in this movie. But I think just some of the actual, like, quotes in the movie that are callbacks and references to the earlier movies. The significance of every time the Green Goblin shows up, you know someone's gonna die by the hands of the glider. Unfortunately, obviously it was Aunt May for this one. But it's just, you know, the we talk about fan service movies. This is absolutely 110% fan service, but it's done right. That's the thing. Like, There are certain, you know, you can tell when people are just put in a movie just to be there and just to get a pop out of the crowd. But this movie, they found an actual reason to bring them back. And they found, a good kind of way to make it funny, make it memorable, make you, like, you know, reminisce on the previous movies. And to just show that, hey, especially a lot of the older actors, they still got it. but... Especially Willem Dafoe. But Willem Dafoe is—I hate that people always think of him as the Green Goblin because he's done so many other great movies. His whole career is just one big great movie.
Like I always say, he has the second best portrayal in history of Jesus Christ. That gives you that yeah. tells you about the range he has.
Yeah. So, and it's so true because it's like, I mean, I watched, you know, was it not too long ago? Maybe about two or three years ago, I watched The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson. Oh, yeah. That was so strange, that movie.
He does an incredible job.
Yeah. So, you know, like, there's that movie. So, God, that movie. Movies are so, some of the movies that he does are strange. But the thing is that, you know, he really makes a movie, but obviously people do know him as the Green Goblin. You know, so there. Oh, we also can't forget about Platoon. Even though that was basically like an ensemble cast, pretty much. Platoon was big. So, you know, when it comes to just this movie, and I see all the great actors in it, and especially the ones that get to reprise their roles, all of them, but do it in a way where it's like, hey, like, yeah, they look a little older, duh, especially Tobey Maguire is going to look older, because my God, it was, he last played Spider-Man, you know, what, before this movie, like, it was what?
14 years ago?
Yeah, 14 years before that.
I think, yeah.
So, you know, of course he's going to look a little bit older, but not by much. Not really. You know, every single one of these actors really kept themselves in shape. The only one that I heard they had to kind of do a little bit de-aging for was Alfred Molina, because he did get kind of old.
He was already old, though.
Well, yeah. You know, Willem Dafoe just never ages. That guy's looked the same for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So, but regardless, like everything about this movie is just fun. You know, there's plenty of heartwarming moments. There's plenty of funny moments. There's plenty of callbacks to the other movies in the series. Both visually and spoken through the dialogue. So it's so good. Like, that's why I keep saying it's fan service done right. Like, there's plenty of fan service movies that I just like, ugh. It's like you didn't really need to do that. You know, it's just stupid to have that there, but this served a purpose. And I think just watching it the third time, I think every time I've rewatched it, both the second time and now this time, it's made me appreciate it more. And this is why I kept saying it was my favorite one in this recent trilogy. It's just, it's because everything doesn't feel cheap. And you could tell that the actors all had fun while doing this movie. So, especially the three Spider-Men, they've said that they, how much fun they have with each other doing this and what they're going to continue to do going forward. So, I don't have any really bad things to say about this movie. It's my favorite in the recent trilogy. It's my if I had to rank it in terms of all the Spider-Man movies, it's probably third or fourth for me. So it's in my top five. So I love it. It's just great all the way around.
Yeah. All right, Shane, tell us your thoughts on this film.
Yeah, well, I saw this in the theater with Robert.
And with a crying me when Aunt May died. Literally yeah. Crying.
But yeah, it was funny. You're over there like, I'm literally going to cry. And I was just like, oh, damn.
and you're like, hey, here's a tissue. I'm like, thanks. Tissue?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was funny. Well, not funny, but...
No, it was pretty funny.
It was. Anyways, yeah, no, this movie... It's funny. My opinion of this movie has... I wouldn't say changed a lot since I saw it the first time, but... I guess my perception of it... I don't know how to explain it. Basically... I think, you know, like Brandon was saying, there's incredible fan service that I think is done well. It's not, it doesn't feel cheap or, you know, but, so, you know, it was very fun just to, not only to see all these characters together, but to see them interact is really interesting to me. You know, I feel like Toby's story finished okay. I mean, his third movie itself wasn't great, but as far as his actual character, I was happy with where he ended up. But, you know, it was still fun to see him again and kind of taking on, like, the, you know, the mentor role of these three. But the one I was really happy about was Andrew finally getting... some closure with his character, even if it wasn't a ton, it was still something. You know, and I really liked that. And I think seeing him with, actually having a good, you know, a pretty good script to work with. And not that the first one wasn't, but the second one, yikes. It's, you know, and you see him alongside the other two actors. It's very clear to me that he is the best actor of these three. Not saying he's the best Spider-Man of the three, but just the best actor in general amongst the three of them. And, you know, so that was cool to see. And yeah, like Brandon said, Jamie Foxx getting a much deserved, like almost reboot of his character. That was all great. The thing is, though, and I noticed this upon, you know, my second and third viewings, once that novelty, this is the problem that like Deadpool and Wolverine I noticed has, you know, once that novelty of like seeing it the first time and seeing these guys all together and oh my gosh, this is amazing, you know, once that wears off and you just look at it as just, you know, the movie itself, it does feel a little bit empty when you don't have that fan, when you look at it without the fan service.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, not that it's, not that I dislike it, but don't get me wrong, but it's just, it's not, I've noticed, at least for myself, that I liked, I mean, as far as just this, you know, the MCU trilogy, it was my favorite when I watched it the first time. But now that I've seen all three of these movies a couple times, it's probably my least favorite of the three now. Again, I still really like it. But I just, when I rewatch them, I find myself enjoying the first two a lot more as I watch, because they still have, you know, much more interesting stories, that like actual stories that anchor them and that you go along with. And I feel like those two are also just, they're just more fun. They're more lighthearted, more joyful. This one's kind of like, you know, more serious. Everyone's all sad and whatever, you know, stressed out. Which I understand why, but yeah, I'd still give it probably a B plus, I think. You know, it's just, I just wish it, there would have been a little more substance to it beyond just, hey, look at this fan service, because it makes for an incredible first watch, especially in the theater, you know, when everyone's like, it's, you know, but it's just, it's after the fact when you watch it the second and third time where you're like, yeah. Yeah. You know, but that's just me anyways.
I think it's fair. Brandon, where did you have this ranked out of 10?
For me, I mean, because it's probably my favorite of the trilogy, and I think what the first one I gave, I think was like maybe like an 8 or 8.5. I give this one, I mean, for me, I mean, yeah, having, you know, not much story behind it, to me, I mean, that to me doesn't really make too much of a difference when there is still somewhat of a story behind that as to why all these characters are involved in this. But I give it a 9. I do give it a 9. I don't, you know, I only reserve the 9.5 or hell, even a 10 for like Spider-Man 2. So yeah, I give this one a 9.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, well, finish us off with No Way Home here.
Yeah, it's a movie that I thought was, obviously, it's a nostalgia trip. It's a movie that's basically about the Tom Holland Spider-Man, I believe. He's trying to redeem or feel like his villain deserves a second chance or whatever it is. Yeah. And he brought all these people back from different dimensions and stuff like that. I believe I believe Doctor Strange was in this one, and he talked to Doctor Strange trying to he went to different universes and tried to befriend these villains. And then, you know, the nostalgia trip of seeing the Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2, of the Sam Raimi era and the TASM, Jamie Foxx Electro, and all that. And also Sandman with arguably the best animation I've probably seen, especially during that year in 2008. An animation Sandman, and it was like, it was a pretty nice movie. I think that it was the first time as far as someone on the big screen that Aunt May died, I think, because I don't think I think
on the big screen, yeah,
because I saw it in Insomniac, that Spider-Man, yeah, that one. And I thought that the movie was, you know, was all right. I think at the end, I think it was like the first time, or probably first time that the movie ended in not with the hero winning, he actually lost, because when it was No Way Home, it was basically everyone don't remember Spider-Man that much. So
reset the character. Reset it.
Yeah, reset it. So now it's now we're in like we're in a reset mode, because now it's gonna be a Spider-Man next one. Basically, tie in here is that now we got a confirmation of the next Spider-Man 4, which is probably the first time a Spider-Man has got a fourth movie.
It is now, which is sad, honestly.
Yeah, brand new day, and I think there was like a lot of like conversations of, probably might be gonna see the Black Spider-Man or something like that, or like Black Two Spider-Man possibly. And there's some other ones as well. You might see like Spider-Man 2099 or something. I'm not sure. But it's something that's something to think about. But also, I think it's probably a good direction to go, because since, you know, last Spider-Man we saw is the multiverse Spider-Man movie, I think this got a good direction to go. So honestly, this movie is pretty good. Honestly, I would have it probably, I would agree, probably around 3, because I think Spider-Man 2 and I think the TASM, first TASM Spider-Man were the best Spider-Man for me, but that's top 2. So I think that would probably be 3. So I think this one is a movie that obviously it has some, it was pretty good. Honestly, I think the second one, Far From Home, in my opinion, I think it's a bit better just because of Mysterio.
That's my favorite of the 3.
Yeah, it Mysterio, because Mysterio's work, because I'm glad they tied it into Tony Stark and all that. So yeah, I feel like this movie was pretty good as far as what the concept of the multiverse done right, because, you know, multiverse is in the past. I think they just basically cop out like, oh, let's bring this guy back, let's bring that guy back. Like, besides
let's move not only the past after this movie, the Flash,
and then you got the Wolverine Spider-Man one, which also, I mean, Wolverine Deadpool one, that was pretty a good multiverse. And I think the worst one, which is how not to do it, is Doctor Strange Multiverse Madness. That was terrible. But
yeah,
but honestly, it's a multiverse movie done right, and I it's probably best one. I'm probably gonna give it probably a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I have a 7.5. I will say this, and that's why I'm happy Brandon and I got a chance to watch it together. I watched this by myself in Canada. This movie is not a fun rewatch by yourself. It's not.
No.
It really isn't. Actually, I watched it with my mom too, so this is my 4th time saying it. This is not a fun rewatch by yourself. It really is.
You also have to rewatch it with someone who understands it too.
Yeah. For sure.
Otherwise, you'll miss like half of it, pretty much at least.
Yeah, miss half of the references and all these things. I mean, even I didn't watch the old Spider-Man, but I knew enough because I was running through the MCU just as a whole anyway at that point when I watched it for the first time. So, you know, all the stuff I was still super excited about, even when we watched it the first time, but like, you know, in the theater. But I don't know. Like, it is one of those movies. I feel this way about Deadpool and Wolverine as well. I just, watching it by yourself just sucks. It's not as fun. And that's why it's a good just rewatch with your buddies like we did this week. But it still gets a 7.5. Like, I gave it like a 9 coming out of the theater. It's gone down, but I think respectively so, just because it is just a fan service movie. But that, in this case, as we're continuing to allude to, that is not a bad thing. In fact, that is glowing for this movie, to say it.
Also, the story was pretty good too, though. I like the Deadpool Wolverine story.
I think at least Marvel with Deadpool and Wolverine, as you just mentioned, Will, and this movie, they hit it on the head versus for what they want to do with the multiverse. We see what happens in Doomsday and Secret Wars, and obviously Brand New Day with all those rumors flying around. But yeah, I'm still gonna give it a 7.5. And to finish off our movie discussion, before we head out, let's rest in peace Val Kilmer. Let's talk about one of the legends of acting.
Yeah, Val Kilmer, rest be underrated Batman.
Brandon, I'll start with you for Val Kilmer. Just before we leave, I don't want to forget that we need to talk about him. So go ahead.
Yeah, you can't forget about an actor that, I mean, really for a whole decade. I mean, he dominated the 90s, especially the first half of it. And I think when it comes to just how great, you know, he was, you know, because people will always talk about like, oh, who are some of the best actors of like kind of like recent memory, like the last, you know, 30, 40 years. I'm like, well, you can't have a list without Val Kilmer. I don't know why people kind of seem to forget. To me, he's one of the most underrated actors of all time, because people will all, because everything that's made mention of him the last, you know, few days, and as we kind of go along here, every time he's mentioned, people only seem to bring up, you know, Batman, and they bring up Top Gun, and I'm like, if those are the only two Val Kilmer movies that you know, then you shouldn't talk about him, because he's done things that are. I mean, Top Gun is great, but Tombstone to me is the best movie he's done.
Yeah.
Tombstone, it, you know, him playing Doc Holliday, is that whole movie with that cast, but especially him, is what makes that movie what it is. You know, The Saint, my grandfather, I mean, before I was born, was watching The Saint on TV, both the original TV show, which was way back when, I think 60s or 70s. But when the movie came out, Val Kilmer, if you ever get a chance to watch The Saint, watch it. It's an awesome action movie. It's an awesome, awesome spy, kind of spy thriller. That was great. Tombstone's great. Top Gun's great. To me, it stinks that kind of his Batman got wasted because of a bad script, and just it came off the back of the Michael Keaton era. So he was automatically, you know, competing with him. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
he can't compete with Michael Keaton. But he's damn good in his own right, and I wish people would understand that. So, you know, because to me, when I watched that movie, you know, back, he really is really good for what he had to work with, and for the cast that he had too. He really, you know, did a great job with it. And I think, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I think, is a great movie with RDJ.
I forget he's in that, not RDJ, but Val Kilmer.
Yeah. You know, so I think that's a great movie. Obviously, for him to finish his career with Top Gun Maverick, and to have that last kind of those last few moments with Tom Cruise, who they considered each other dear friends for years, basically since Top Gun. So, you know, to have that kind of moment together is I think was special and very important. And the fact that was his last, you know, film role that he got to be a part, well, that not maybe be a part of, but I think either be a part of, or that he got to also see before he passed, you know, come to life. So, I mean, it's just, you can't talk about just how good, and listen, every actor, because I mean, there's been a history with him, because oh, he's difficult to work with. I'm like, every actor, every high top actor is, that's a fact, in some way, shape, or form. You're not gonna please everybody, but just in terms of the actor, you know, fantastic. It stinks that he suffered for so long the way he did, with, you know, his condition and kind of just how it really took a toll on him. But hell of an actor, hell of a, I mean, and for you know, in terms of Hollywood in general, hell of a guy, because Hollywood can be pretty dirty and sleazy, and he was still a pretty stand-up guy, never really got into too much trouble. You know, this real kind of like, you know, California kid. So I can't say enough about him. He's one of my favorite actors ever. I have him, like, probably if I had to make a top 10, he's probably in my top 10. I know that's a hot take, but I think he is. So can't say enough about him. You know, gone too soon. You know, people might think, you know, 60s is when you start kind of getting old, you start getting towards retirement age, but 60s is still too young to die. Was he 65?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's still too young, you know, to me, you know, it's like, that's just far too soon. And I mean, and if he didn't have happen, what happened to him with the throat cancer and things like that, he would still be, you know, acting, obviously. But like to his full extent. So, you know, it's a shame, but you can't let the memory of an actor like that just, you know, die. He's a guy that you need to remember, because just he's so underrated that it would be a shame if people did forget about him. So, you know, rest in peace to him. Rest in peace to the most underrated Batman probably ever. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, Shane, go ahead from there.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when I think of Val Kilmer, Batman and Top Gun are definitely like the first two that come to my mind, just because they're probably the most famous movies he was in. But when I think about, you know, his acting ability and movies where he truly showed his chops, you know, I'm thinking of movies like Tombstone or The Saint or Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Willow, you know, The Doors.
I also forgot about a good one. Yeah, well, yeah, The Doors I forgot about. I also forgot about Heat. He was in Heat.
Yeah, amazing movie. But yeah, I mean, he was in a ton of really good movies of all different genres too. I mean, most guys are, you know, kind of known for like a certain genre or type of movie, but he was in everything. Yeah, and you know, I don't want to say forgot about him, but you know, he hadn't been anything for such a long time, and you know, just because of his condition and whatnot. But when I saw him in Top Gun, because I figured he would be mentioned, or you know, we'd see pictures of him or whatever, and there was some of that, so I was like, okay, you know, but then I remember actually when we actually see him in the movie, I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, in Top Gun Maverick. Yeah.
I was not expecting it. I'll be honest, I got kind of emotional. I mean, I was like, wow, you know, I mean, I just, for some reason, I figured we just wouldn't be seeing him in movies anymore. And, you know, and I knew that in that, spoilers for Top Gun Maverick, if you're one of the two people on Earth that hasn't seen it. there's that scene in there where, you know, he has the where he dies and they have a funeral for him. And, you know, I just had this weird feeling as I was in the theater, as I was watching that movie, I was like, I feel like this is the last time we're going to see him on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right from the, and then after that, before I kind of like, you know, forgot about him almost, cause he just hadn't been anything. But ever since then, I've, you know, he's been like on my mind more just because I'm like, oh yeah, that guy exists, you know? Yeah, and I think part of it is just because that movie was such a huge cultural phenomenon, both of them. But yeah, and that scene was so great too, because it was, you know, I mean, yeah, there was a little, you know, fan service to it, but that scene actually, you know, it had meaning, not just for them, but for the story of the movie too. And yeah, and then that was, and sure enough, that's the last time we saw him on the big screen. But but yeah, I mean, you know, this is why, you know, like Brandon said, 65, gone too soon. You know, this is why you don't smoke, for starters, because that was probably what caused this, because he liked his cigarettes. But also why, you know, you just got to try to enjoy every moment as much as you can. And, you know, and because you never know when, you know, I mean, we saw him in that movie a few years ago, and I mean, you could tell he wasn't 100%, but he, you know, he looked good. I mean, he seemed all right. And then, yeah, just a couple years later, he passes. So,
yeah. Yeah. To piggyback off that, like, my, you know, I'm still very young in the movie, so I haven't seen a lot of his filmography yet, which I will get to. But yeah, seeing him in Top Gun and in Maverick was amazing. Like, that's like a great kind of initiation into his filmmaking or into his acting. I mean, and it was special to watch that and to see, you know, again, see his range and everything. And then obviously I put that scene in the chat this morning, and watching that again made me even more emotional, because it's such a beautiful scene, and him as Iceman is just awesome. So that's kind of my whole thing with him, but also just understanding, like, he's one of those guys that has such an amazing legacy that goes, you know, I think there's very few actors who, yeah, as many actors as there are very few actors that can transcend the medium of filmmaking. He's definitely one of them, and it's sad to see him pass too soon on that, but yeah, just incredible.
You know what's the craziest thing too is, like, we're talking about underrated, right? And I didn't even realize this, but I had to look this up, because I remember, you know, because I'm not the only one that was thinking it, but I actually just had to find this quote again. But this is back before he did Heat, back before he did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, back before even like a year before Tombstone came out. So this came out in 1992. Roger Ebert, the famous, you know, film critic, he said, if there's an award for the most unsung leading man of his generation, it's Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful quote for him. Absolutely. Will, what are your thoughts on Val Kilmer and his career?
To me, with Val Kilmer, he's somebody that I don't really remember much. I know about Top Gun with him and Tom Cruise. I think that based with him with Batman, I always think with his Batman, I always thought that he has been a Batman. Of course, I say underrated Batman. Honestly, he's better. Obviously, better than George Clooney's Batman, which followed that movie from that atrocity movie that I remembered. And I'm glad he left that one, because he hated the script. It was hard to decipher, because I remember I was reading a interview a decade later when he went about why he was one and done with Batman, is because, yeah, it was hard to decipher, basically, because it wasn't Batman. And he was right, because it was basically just a lot of humor, the Batman card, and then you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger doing freaking ice puns. Bane wasn't Bane, and the only one that I can really think was okay was Robin, Batgirl, and obviously Poison Ivy. So that was like the only ones that were basically good about that movie. But I'm glad he said it was one of them, because he's the type of actor that wants to be part of a movie that, like, feels like he's the character is what it is as part of the movie, if it makes sense. So I'm glad he's one of those actors that really is is a part of his craft, because I think people really discounted guys like Ed Norton, who's, some people say, hard to work with, but he cares about his craft, and he wants to be hands-on with it. And Val Kilmer wants, though he's not really hands-on with it, he wants to look at the script, and he wants to say, hey, it makes sense, I want to be part of this script, and I like this character, and let me make this character come to life on the film. And I like those type of actors. I think that I've seen the Batman Forever. I think the costume, I'm not really a huge fan of the costume. I think it's a little bit too lighthearted type costume. I think him as Bruce Wayne is all right. I think with the glasses is kind of meh. But I just feel like Christian Bale has just put a high ceiling as probably the best Batman ever. That was because of the writing, but in my opinion, I think Christian Bale is just that dang good. I just feel like he made a higher ceiling for previous Batmans, and just the only one that's close to him is probably, if he gets more movies, is Robert Pattinson on the big screen. And close to him at 1A, 1B is Kevin Conroy with how well he's voice acting Batman in the past, especially with BTAS. I think that Val Kilmer is arguably, he's a decent Batman. I thought he, obviously, I think he's top five for me. I think as an actor, yeah, it was sick how what happened. I read that he had like throat cancer, then died from pneumonia and all that. Sucks what happened during that point. But yeah, it's yeah, but the legacy he had, like, he's one of those guys that probably, I agree, unsung hero, arguably one of the top guys. What you think about as far as unsung hero as Batman, and also one of the top guys in Top Gun, and also other movies that he done. So honestly, and also he had like the pretty boy type of look that a lot of actors are looking for. So he had that with him as well that a lot of people talked about. So I think that his work and what he did, it's not really on the level like others, but it's something that really should be celebrated more. And I'm glad people are really giving his flowers, like new articles and YouTubers and stuff like that. And like him, we lost him. We lost, of course, I said Kevin Conroy. We lost Adam West. Like, we lost a lot of good actors that played Batman. We still got Michael Keaton. We still got, of course, Robert Pattinson. He's young, so something, a tragedy happens. Something happens, so it's really great, but really, I hope he's good. And also, we still have Christian Bale, so at least we have those Batman. But the Batman we lost, the Val Kilmers, the Cameron Conroys, and the Adam Wests, man, will not be forgotten. And yeah, it sucks for what happened with Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer will always be arguably an unsung guy in my eyes.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Well, I think that's a great way to end, remembering one of the most amazing actors of our generation. And yeah, we're doing Batman next week. We're starting with Dark Knight. Brandon's set of Batman films is on the way next week.
Let's go. I can't wait for this nostalgia
trip. It's going to be fun. I didn't want to do it. I might change the list because I didn't expect Val Kilmer to pass. So
yeah, well, you can change it. You can put one of his movies in there if you wish to.
I might take I don't know if I should take 66 off. I do want to end with Batman and Robin, since it's easily the worst Batman movie.
Can I make a suggestion? If you're going to move any movie off the list, do Bat-Pat. Remove that one. It's so long, and it's also really recent that I don't know if it's worthy of a conversation right now.
Yeah, that's fair. And the thing is, it would take forever to get through that conversation because of how long it is. So, yeah, you know what? Let's take off. And actually, it still goes in descending order if I take off, because actually it makes sense, because it would go in descending order, because Dark Knight is more recent. Then I would go Batman Forever, then Mask of the Phantasm, then 66, and then it would go back up to Batman and Robin, because I want to say that because it's the last one, so I want to do a funny one. So yeah, I think that's what we'll do. So we'll get rid of Bat Pat, and we'll remove, so not for next week, but the week after, we'll do Batman Forever.
Yeah, that sounds great. So yeah, we'll start with Dark Knight next week. I have the DVD, so I have the Blu-ray, so I'm excited. I can just pop it in and watch it next week. That's gonna be awesome.
Oh, the quotes that we're gonna pull. Oh my god, it's gonna be a nonstop quote fest. Because my god, the Christian Bale set of Batman movies is just, they're amazing, but the Dark Knight, the Dark Knight is so peak, and then Rises is I think Rises is underrated in that series. I think it's actually pretty good.
I love Rises. I'm also the wrong person, because as Shane and you all know, I fucking love Tenet. That tells you a lot about how I feel about Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It'll be fun next week.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good set. And then, Batman and Robin is going to be crazy. I'm so excited for that.
Oh my god, I gotta pray on that one. That one's gonna be like an ass.
We better all be here for that watch along, because that's gonna be crazy. Also, before I forget, the draft is in a couple weeks. Speaking of watch alongs, we are gonna do a watch along of draft day coming up. That is also coming up. Which is gonna be amazing. Anything else before we head out?
I was gonna say real quick though.
Are we before Shane says no? Not really. I was gonna say that because it will doesn't draft day cut into the Batman stuff we're doing. So are we gonna do? So how do we want to do? Is draft day gonna come before Batman and Robin? I think it is.
No,
right?
It is. So it's just like a watch along, like small set. So we're still gonna keep the movies as we go along. And just add a watch along like in the middle there for draft day. Just honestly, because I'll be real, there's almost nothing to talk about other than that movie's garbage. But I want to talk about how garbage it is with other people who are actual NFL fans. Because there's a lot about this movie that's just stupid if you're an actual NFL fan. If you're not, like if you're a casual, it's a good movie, but if you're a hardcore, it's awful. And we'll get to the thing that's going to... There's one thing in this movie that's going to make Will blow his gasket. So I want to see that.
Yeah, I got to see Mr. Freeze. Freaking all that.
No, Will, you, the dinosaurs, bro, the ice age.
I'm going to be fucking throwing my TV. Like, what the...
Wait, before we go, Will, do you remember what the Seahawks thing is in draft day?
The Seahawks thing?
Yeah, in the movie Draft Day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure.
So, the year before this movie came out, the Seahawks made the Super Bowl, or what was it, 2 years after it came out? The
2014.
The Seahawks have the number one pick in this movie at the beginning.
What the...
So
even though they're one of four teams that's never had the number one overall pick.
Oh no,
that's never had it ever.
I just saw that one of the actors that play in the draft day. You don't tell you who?
Kevin Costner.
Chris Crawford. You know who played Chris Crawford?
Why am I tripping?
Was that Chadwick Boseman?
Huh?
Was that Chadwick Boseman?
No.
He was the other guy.
No, he's Vontae Mack.
Yes,
he's Chris Cross Crawford. You know who plays that?
Oh, Andrew Foster.
Oh, God. He did. Foster. Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, I'm excited for that. For Brandon, for Shane, for Will, for myself. We'll see you all next week for the AFC Mount Rushmore. We'll see you then.
Peace.
Take care, buddy.